Get your Bible, please, and turn to John chapter number 15. John chapter 15. Remember, if you have a cell phone, we would ask that you turn it off or that you turn it on vibrate. And then I want everyone to be real, real quiet and look right this way. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Now I want you to find verse number 10. John chapter 15, verse number 10. Now, before you stand, if you found John chapter 15, I want you to look back at me. I'm going to tell you a little story, and there's a reason for it. Then I'm going to read the scripture, and then we'll begin the sermon. Tonight, of course, we're going to talk about backsliding. Backsliding. And there's a critical point tonight that I just want you to hear. And really, the whole sermon is about this one little turning point. And it's where people make a mistake, and because of it, they end up being backslidden. But I'm going to tell you a story that helps me to get the point across. Many, many years ago, when I first started in the ministry, I'd come through Bible college, and I didn't have any grants or loans or anything like that. I worked all night, earned my money. I had to pay for my entire college tuition out of my pocket. And so I finally graduated, and I got to be honest with you, I was as poor as Job's turkey when it was all over with. And my clothes were all beat up, my shoes were all beat up. I had a pair of very cheap dress shoes. The soles were made of an imitation leather. They had a hole that had been wore through them, and to be honest, they were miserable. When it rained, my feet were wet. When it was hot, my feet would get sticky from tar, and when it was cold, my feet would get cold, and they were just a mess. I had started an adult Sunday school class, and when I did, there was a man in my class, and he was a very successful man in the real estate business in Chicago. And he had bought me, he had seen that my shoes had holes in them, and he bought me a pair of shoes. And he gave them to me. I'm telling you, the box they came in was amazing. I'd never seen a box like that. I mean, it was this amazing box. And these shoes, and he put a little note with it. It said, "Preacher, I really love you, and I've seen that you needed a pair of shoes, and I wanted to get you a pair of shoes." And these shoes had a lifetime warranty. They were bought through a company, I think, called Neiman Marcus, and they were over $2,000 for the pair of shoes. They had an indestructible sole. They were an Italian shoe. I don't know how you say it. I think it's spelled Berluti, but very fancy pair of shoes. Well, I was excited to have those shoes, and I put them on, but I didn't enjoy them at first. I got to tell you, boy, they hurt my feet. I had to force myself to wear them. Y'all ever got a new pair of shoes before? You're glad you have them, but you're not glad you've got them. And so they hurt my feet. I had to force myself to wear them. But, you know, after a while, I got those babies broke in. Whew, they were smooth and comfortable, and I loved them. And I thought, boy, I would never want to change shoes again. But you know what happened? After a couple of years, now these were great shoes, but after a couple of years, I just almost got tired of wearing the same shoes. You couldn't destroy them. I mean, they were going to stay around forever. So I kind of lost my excitement about them. But then I would remember, you know, those shoes, they've lifetime warranty. They're going to carry me for a long, long time. They were still good for me. I had kind of lost my interest in them. And that happens to a lot of people with their Christianity. John chapter 15, stand with me if you will. John chapter 15, I'm going to start reading at verse number 10. The Bible says this, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." And let's pray. Father, I want so desperately to get the point across tonight, and help us. So God, help my mind to be strong and help the logic to be easily received and absorbed. And Father, might we not become severely backslidden because we learned this simple thing tonight. Please, Holy Spirit, take the lesson and help me not to mess it up, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in John chapter 15, the Lord said, I want you to keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, joy will be in you and you'll be full of that joy. He said, and you, by keeping my commandments, you'll be a friend to me. And I want you to understand your friendship to God is proven by your obedience to Him. And that's what that passage of Scripture said. Now, folks, I'm going to promise you, if you'll listen to what I tell you tonight and you'll obey a really simple thing, it'll keep you from what I would call seriously backsliding. Now, all of us experience some backsliding. Everybody does. That is, to the extent that backsliding is our being anything less than what we were at our spiritual best. Now, but all of us fail to live up to our best from time to time. But I'm telling you that this truth will keep you from seriously, seriously backsliding. If you'll listen to what I tell you tonight, this will help you from getting out of church or going into a life of perpetual sin, or it'll keep you from quitting the tithing or quitting reading your Bible altogether, quitting that bus route and never going back, or quitting your Sunday school class, or quitting on the nursery, or ceasing to fellowship with God's people. I'm going to put my finger on a little idea or a little occurrence that will help you to not backslide. Did you know that if you don't take step number one for backsliding, then you can't get to step two or three or four? And what I want to do, I want to show you what I think that first step is. What really messes us up? This could be the single most important sermon that you've heard since you got saved. I didn't say it's going to be the best sermon, but it could be one of the most important sermons. You take, for instance, concerning soul winning. You say, preacher, I've lost my burden for souls. I don't have the same compassion I used to. I used to weep at the thought of people going to hell, but it just doesn't bother me anymore. Preacher, about prayer, I don't enjoy praying like I used to. I don't have a zeal to pray like I used to. I don't pray, and it doesn't really bother me anymore. Concerning my Bible, reading my Bible and Bible study, pastor, I don't delight in my Bible like I once did. I used to read it, and it seemed to be like a love letter from God to me. Now the thrill's gone, and I don't care if I've read my Bible or not. Concerning my service to God, I used to enjoy my bus route, but I've lost my zeal for my bus route. I used to love my bus riders, and I used to like visiting my route. And there was no summer that was too hot. There was no winter that was too cold, but now it doesn't matter to me anymore. I have a Sunday school class, but I've lost my excitement as a teacher. I used to feel honored to be a teacher. Now it's a burden. I used to thrill at visiting my class members. Now I dread the thought of it. I used to get excited about teaching the lesson. Now it has become unpleasant to me, and I don't study, and I fake my way through it, and it doesn't really move me much anymore. Whatever your responsibility, is it the nursery, ushering, greeting, working in the parking lots, music ministry, the grounds, the hospitality ministry, what is it? Maybe it's in your giving. Preacher, I used to enjoy giving. I used to enjoy giving my faith promise. I used to enjoy giving. I used to truly give my tithe cheerfully. Now I give it begrudgingly, if I even give it at all, and I've got many justifications why I don't tithe like I'm supposed to. Now listen, right here's the point where I want us to concentrate. This is where you'll separate the men from the boys, or the soon-to-be backslidden from those that won't be backslidden. Right here at this time is when we decide if we'll take that first step into backsliding. Will the devil successfully influence you to backslide? Now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go backwards a little bit, and I'm going to reapproach. But we're coming back to this point in just a moment. Listen to me real carefully. Number one, man must learn to do right. man must learn to do right. By nature, man, we do bad. We do bad by nature. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Psalm 58:3 says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. Psalm 51:5 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man by nature is a sinner, and we do bad. Then we get saved. Now, we have to learn to do right. Doing right at first will be uncomfortable. Doing right at first is a little bit hard. If you say, Pastor, I got saved and you talked about that tithing thing, I don't tithe cheerfully. I tithe, but I don't tithe cheerfully. A lot of people start there. You see why? Well, you spent your whole life not doing it. You get saved and God said, do it. And you say, I don't know if I like this. You won't sacrifice for God willingly at first, and striving for purity may start out as being a hard thing for which you strive. Dishonesty comes naturally, but spiritual people have to require themselves to tell the truth. Separation from the world is a bit painful after having lived comfortably in the world for years. But folks, people must learn to do right, and people have to learn to be spiritual. And I got to tell you, it hurts, or it can be a bit uncomfortable at first. Did you know a baby must be trained to not soil themselves or wet themselves? At first, they really don't enjoy this change. At first, they go through potty training with some resentment. They're not really for this program. But after they learn it, they see what a favor you did for them. Why? That's how we all start out. We all start out, and there are things that we do that are not good for us, but we don't really know that they're not good for us. And when we're told we need to stop doing them, there's a little, we want to almost reject the thought that we ought to stop doing them. But once we get them fixed, we are grateful that we're no longer soiling ourselves in our Christian life. Laziness comes easy. Diligence must be learned. Complaining and griping comes naturally. Being positive and content must be learned. Gossip is simple because it takes no effort. Praise and edification in our speech must be learned, worked on, and accomplished. Anger's not challenging. It comes naturally, and you don't have to practice. Yet self-control must be learned, practiced, and accomplished at a price. Pride grows and expresses itself with no effort. Humility must be taught, learned, and maintained. Lust grows naturally and wild. Purity, morality must be cultivated, fertilized, harvested, learned, and insisted upon. Hate jumps out of us quickly with little effort. Love must be learned and relearned and relearned. Pleasing the flesh is easy. Obeying the Spirit must be learned. Stinginess and self-centeredness was expressed easily and right when we came out of the womb. But sharing and caring and helping others had to be learned. See, you must learn to be spiritual. You must learn to do right. And that's my first thought. But number two, at first, man does not enjoy doing right. You get saved, and there are changes. And they're not always easy. The first time I tithed, I was not thrilled. I'd earned money from a paper route. I got up at 5 a.m. in the morning. I rolled my papers. I put a rubber band around them. I got on my bicycle and I passed papers when it was rainy, when it was cold. And I earned a paycheck. And the first time I gave my tithe off of my paper route money, I really wanted to take it back out of the plate after I put it in. The first time I gave up a Sunday for God, it was not real thrilling to me. You say, why? Well, I was 16 when I got saved, and Sunday was fishing, baseball, and waxing my 1970 Nova. Amen. Sunday was for me. And then when they said, you ought to come on Sunday night, I thought, oh my, Walt Disney's on Sunday night. It's hard for me. The first time I witnessed to somebody, I was not real happy about it. I was scared to death. I was out of my comfort zone. I felt fearful.
I knew I was going to be embarrassed. I knew I was going to fail. I had sweaty palms. My mind was racing with insecurity. I thought I would pass out. And I walked past 10 people that needed to be saved. I was petrified to tell anybody about Jesus. Wasn't easy. It's hard for me. When I first started walking with God, I made a very poor companion for Him. He wanted to be there, but I didn't. It was Bible reading time, but I really would have rather read something else. I like books with pictures. And I didn't like to read for long. And I'd be reading, and I'd be looking at words, and I'd be analyzing a baseball card collection in my mind. But it was hard for me. You take prayer. I built me a prayer list. It was long. I remember I built this great big long prayer list. I thought, this is going to take forever. 5 minutes later, I was done. I can't tell you how many times I was talking to God and fell asleep. I mean, praying. Do you know one of the... If you have insomnia, go to your knees. It'll take care of it. I couldn't concentrate. I'd go to pray. And all the time I was praying, I was thinking of 50 other things that needed to be done. Things that I hadn't thought of in a long time, but they needed to be done. When I first started going to Wednesday night church, I was not a cheerful attender. You say, why? I got my belly full on Sunday. I figured my mom had been telling the preacher what to preach on Sunday because he was nailing me every time I went. Why would I want to go back for more torture on Wednesday night? Everybody else would come on Wednesday night and say amen. I sat there and went, oh me, oh me. Oh, me. Hey, when I first started my process for separation from the world, I was not a good separator. I didn't like it. It didn't make sense to me. I needed a haircut because I looked like a woman. It took me forever to get my hair cut. I cut it at about a quarter of an inch at a time. I'd go into church and I'd say, preacher, what do you think? He'd say, about what? I said, the haircut. He said, you didn't pay for that, did you? They didn't take anything off. I listened to my bad music, and it was, I went from listening to what I thought was this fantastic rock and roll to going to church and hearing this guy sing that I really thought some of his clothes were too tight while he sang. And I thought, this isn't making sense to me. So I struggled with it. You take my crowd. I needed to change crowds. But I didn't like that because this was where I got some of my security. But I'd gotten saved and I needed a change. Listen, when you've been freely doing wrong, the transition to doing right can be hard because your flesh does not enjoy the change. When you've been doing what you want and you do it when you want, when you stop that and you start doing what God wants, there's a struggle. Your pride's not real happy with this new spiritual submission that's necessary. So, I said this. I said, number one, we start out doing wrong and we must learn to do right. Then, not only do we need to learn to do right, when we start doing right, which we're learning to do, it's not pleasant and we're not always real happy about doing it. But listen to this. Number three, if you'll keep doing right, the enjoyment of right will come. If you keep doing right, the enjoyment of right will come. God blesses your learning of right and your obedience to doing right with a joy for doing right. John 15:14 says, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." So here's what happened. I do what God commands. I become a friend to God. God rewards my friendship with a delight in that friendship relationship. Romans 15:13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." God wants to fill you with joy and peace. He wants you to abound with those things. Let me read to you Psalm 4, verse 6 and 7. "There may be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart." You know what happens? If I learn right, and then I do right, God can help me to begin to enjoy right. He said, I'll put gladness in your heart. Where I was once sad while I was doing right because it was a struggle, God said, I can help to make you glad that you're doing right. See, at first I didn't enjoy giving to the Lord. I have to tell you, I am now a cheerful giver. I don't mind giving to the Lord at all. I like it. I get a thrill out of it. At first, I didn't look forward to giving up my Sunday to be in church. Now I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Amen. At first, I didn't enjoy soul winning. Now one of the thrills of life is when you show someone how to be born again and they pray and ask Jesus to come into their heart and save them. Wow, you talk about something that's exhilarating. You know, at first, prayer and Bible reading were a chore. I couldn't tell you how my heart thrills when I get to read my Bible and pray today. At first, Wednesday night church was just another thing that would steal my time off of work. I look forward to Wednesday nights. I have for years. At first, the separation issues and the separation from the world and trying to live holy or godly, it was kind of ridiculous and outrageous, and God was expecting too much. I'll be honest, now it makes total sense to me. And I understand God was not trying to do something to me. He was trying to do something for me, and He was protecting me in all of it. You know, it's a little bit like those shoes. The old pair of shoes were wore down, and they would not do, and they were not going to last. And somebody that loved me gave me some new shoes. Who's that? In this story, it's God. Now, they had a lifetime warranty. Guess what? My new life in Christ Jesus, it's got a lifetime warranty. The soles never wear out. But at first, you put those shoes on and they hurt. Then you begin to break them in. And then before long, you're saying, I would never give these shoes up in a million years. Now with my Neiman Marcus or whatever those shoes were, you remember I told you I kind of got tired of them. But you know what? They were still high quality and the best on the market. You know what happens to us sometimes? You get to serving. You even get the joy. But it may be one day you'll wake up and say, I'm not enjoying it like I used to. I'm going to assure you something. God's still as great as He has always been. The problem's not with God. Amen. You're the one. You're the one that's not recognizing your lifetime warranty. You're the one that's lost track of how high quality the gift is that was given to you from somebody that loved you that's going to carry you through eternity. Now, when you get to that point right there, when you get to that point where you say, I'm not enjoying it like I used to, that's the danger moment. So what do you do? Here's what you do. And this is what the whole sermon's about. Keep doing right, even when you don't enjoy doing right. Keep doing right, even when you don't enjoy doing right. You take soul winning. Psalm 126 verse 6 says, He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Yes, God wants us to go soul winning with a soft, compassionate, tender heart. But if there are no tears, go tell somebody about Jesus anyway. Do it out of obligation, even when joy is not present. That'll keep you from backsliding. You say, well, why? Because I'm going to tell you something right this moment, and I'm sure of this. If you'll do it out of obligation, the joy will return again. It will. You take giving. 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God wants you and I to give cheerfully. God wants us to give our tithe cheerfully. God wants us to give our faith promise or our building program promise. He wants us to give it cheerfully. But if you cannot give it cheerfully, give to God faithfully anyway. Do it out of obligation, even when the excitement's gone. You say, why? Because I'm going to tell you, If you've lost the fun, if you've lost the zeal, the devil is waiting for you to say, I don't want to do this anymore. There's where you'll backslide. You say, what do? Go ahead and do right, even though you don't feel like doing right. You see, that will keep you from backsliding. You say, but why? If I'm not enjoying it, I'm going to make you a promise. I've been there. I've got to the point where I didn't appreciate the shoes anymore, but they were still good shoes. They were still best for me. They were still the best thing that I could do. And you know what? I began to reappreciate what I had again, and you will begin to enjoy again what you have lost the zeal for. Take praying. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Here it's talking about praying fervently. That means throw your heart into it with fervor and energy. And that's how God wants us to pray. But I'm going to tell you something. If you say, I just don't think I can pray fervently. Pray anyway. Pray anyway. Why? Do it even if you have to do it out of obligation. If you say, well, I'm going to pray, but I'm only going to pray because God told me to, okay, fine. Just do it. Why? Prayer's good for you. It's best. Say, but I don't feel like it. Folks, you are going to flop as a Christian if you keep saying that about everything. How I feel. What I feel about it. How I feel. What I feel about it. Let me tell you what you need to do. You better figure out what God feels about it. Because your feelings will lie to you. And your feelings will get you in trouble. Your feelings will lead you to backslide. Because you'll say, because I don't feel like it, I'm not going to do it. At that point, when you better shake yourself and say, I'm going to do it whether I feel like it or not. I'm going to give whether I feel like it or not. I'm going to tell others about Jesus whether I feel like it or not. This is such a simple thing, but I'm telling you how to last long term in your service for Christ. It will lose its excitement here and there. I wish it didn't. You say, isn't that an embarrassment to God? It isn't God's fault. It's our fault. Those shoes were as high quality years into it as what they were when they were given to me. They had a warranty on them. The problem was not the shoes. The problem was me. The problem is not God. The problem is not praying. The problem is not soul winning. The problem is not giving. It's us. And so when we're broken down on the roadside of our Christian life, whatever you do, don't quit. Keep going even when you don't feel like it. Even when it's not joyful anymore. Praying. Praying's the same way. The Bible says that we're to confess those faults. We're to pray fervently, but if we can't pray fervently, keep praying. Okay, your Bible reading. The Bible says in Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You and I are to delight in the Word of God. And hey, have you ever went through the process where you're reading your Bible and it was fun? And you were enjoying it and you were thrilled and you were excited? Hey, fantastic. But the day you wake up and it's not fun anymore, if you're not careful, you say, well, I'm not going to read anymore. That's the day you started your backsliding. Because it wasn't thrilling anymore, you didn't do it. Let me tell you something. You don't read the Bible because it's thrilling. You read the Bible because God said to read the Bible. Amen. You say, I want to thrill. I want you to thrill. But the only way you'll thrill again is if you read when you're not thrilled. You say, well, the Bible's not thrilling. No, the Bible is thrilling. You're the thrill kill, not God. Keep going. Let me use sin. We should stop sinning and be happy about it. I can remember as I was growing in the Lord, there were some things I gave up for the Lord and I was thrilled. There come a point when I was thrilled. I thought, I did it. I conquered that. Okay. Well, wonder if I wasn't thrilled. Should I stop sinning anyway? Well, absolutely I should. We should stop sinning and be happy about it. But if you don't want to get backslidden, you need to stop whether you're thrilled about stopping or not. For instance, Should a bank robber say, "Well, if I can't stop robbing banks cheerfully, I won't stop." You say that's ignorant. It's ignorant in the Christian life, too. If I can't give to God cheerfully, I'm just not going to give. I'm sorry. Wrong attitude. God prefers that you are a cheerful giver. That means He wants you to have the right attitude while you give. But if you're not going to have the right attitude, you better give or the devourer will come and you'll lose. Should a murderer say, "If I can't stop murdering cheerfully, I won't stop"? You say, that's ridiculous. I know. But you and I tend to want to obey God if we get a thrill out of it. If we get an emotional charge out of it. And the truth is, we're to obey God no matter how we feel about it. You take church attendance. The Bible says in Psalm 122, verse number 1, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Love that. Here's somebody said, when they said, "Let's go to church," well, I was happy. I was glad. Could I tell you how many people don't come to church because they don't feel glad about it? Hey, look, we should come to church and be glad. But if you're not glad, come to church anyway. Yeah, you see, we tend to want to do what's easy. We tend to want to do what our emotions want us to do. And folks, when you get to the point where you're not enjoying it anymore, watch out. That's where the backsliding kicks in. Because you say, "I'm not enjoying it like I once did. I'm going to stop doing it." There's some people you used to love working in the nursery. Now it's become hard. You're not thrilling with it anymore. Could I tell you something? Keep doing it, even though it's not a thrill anymore. Visiting a bus route, it's the same way. Helping in that ministry, whatever the task. Folks, bottom line is, God wants us to enjoy our service to Him. But we are not relinquished of the responsibility of any part of His service just because we don't enjoy it anymore. And the human race tends to think, if I don't get an emotional thrill, I'm not going to do it. And I'm going to promise you, when you make that decision, that starts your backsliding. Let me show you something else. I believe this, and this is the fifth point. The time that you earn the greatest rewards from God is probably when you obey when you don't feel like it. I said this, the time that you earn the greatest reward from God is probably when you obey, but you don't feel like it. Let me read a scripture to you. Matthew 5:46 says, "For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same?" What's it teaching? Loving those who love you is easy, and it has a reward within itself. But loving those that don't love you really takes something out of you. Loving your enemy, that takes something out of you. And he's saying, look, loving those that love you, even the lost people do that. Who can't love the people that love you? But he said, but wait a minute. You love your enemy. Now, that's not something that just anybody can do. So I think God rewards, look, the harder the task, the greater the reward. You check the economy of God. That's how it works. I believe you may get more reward in heaven for the times that you read your Bible when you don't want to read your Bible than when you wanted to read your Bible. I believe you may get more rewards in heaven for the time that you came to church when you didn't want to come to church than when you wanted to come to church. Because when you wanted to, it was easy. When you wanted to, it was smooth. When you wanted to, it was convenient. When you wanted to, there was no challenge. But wait a minute, the day you woke up and you didn't want to, and the devil was fighting you, and you wanted to stay home, and you were negative about it, and then you made yourself come, I think God said, yeah, victory. You did what was hard. And I think there's more reward in that. The same's true about soul winning. I wonder if the reward is not greater when you go soul winning when you don't want to than when you go soul winning when you do want to. I wonder if the reward is greater when you go on your bus route when you didn't want to rather than when you wanted to, or your Sunday school class, or working the nursery, or the tithing, or the separation, or coming to church on Wednesday night. Listen, my mom never bragged on me for eating my candy bar. My mom never said, "That's a good boy, Jeff. You ate your whole candy bar." But I wonder how many times she said, "Well, that's good. Well, you ate that spinach. You cleaned up your Brussels sprouts." Why? I was getting praise from my superior for doing what was hard. I was getting praise from my superior for doing what was right. I was getting praise from my superior for doing maybe what I didn't even like to do. If my mother's smart enough to do that, don't you think God is? So, bottom line is, if you don't want to backslide, you need to make doing right and serving God your habit for life, whether you like it or not. I don't know if you're willing to be real, but if you are, have you ever not liked it? You had your moment where you didn't like it? And you didn't want to go, and you didn't want to do it? Can I tell you how to not backslide at that point? Do what's right, no matter how you feel about it. You do it when it feels good. You do it when it doesn't feel so good. You do it when you want to. You do it when you don't want to. You see, don't just serve Him when it's easy, comfortable, fun, and rewarding. Just serve Him. And I'm going to make you a promise, though. If you lose your joy at some task for God, but keep doing right out of sheer obedience, or because it is your duty to do it, the joy will return. Now, you might not want to ever say it publicly, but let me. There have been times when I've been serving and I thought, I don't feel like it. I don't want to do it. But I required myself to do it. And I had to require myself again. And I might have had to require myself again. But you know what happened? Wasn't long till it's coming easy again. I was enjoying it again. And so God helped me. He rewarded me for not letting myself get backslidden because of an emotional moment. I'll go back to my shoes and then I'm done. I'm going to retell my story. I had this cheap pair of dress shoes. The soles were imitation leather and they were miserable. They were miserable. It was almost a picture of me in my lost state. Somebody that loved me came along and bought me a lifetime warranty on a new pair. They were indestructible, basically. But when I first tried them on, they hurt my feet. Why? Because I was used to the old ones. It's kind of uncomfortable. But I went through the pain to break them in. And once I broke them in, I loved them. They fit like a glove. Didn't want to ever give them up. And you know what? They were so durable, they lasted and lasted and lasted. I got tired of them. They didn't lose their quality. I got tired of them. I needed to push the reset button on me. They didn't have anything wrong with them. And let me tell you something. When you get backslidden, it's because you've gotten tired of God. He's still the great God that He was when you were thrilling. Something's not wrong with God. Something's wrong with me and you. So what do? You keep serving and doing what's right to do, and I'll promise you, the joy will return. And everybody in here that's been in church any length of time at all could testify and say, you know, that's true. That's true. Those of you that are younger Christians, just trust God on this. Serve Him, even when it's not easy. It gets better.